Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
My friend Nick asked me to talk to you for a minute. He thought you needed a little talking to about insanity, so he went to the expert because I'm insane. It's documented. I've been to doctors, I've had the meds, and everything. I'm crazy. And I sound jocular, but I'll tell you, it's frightening. And right now, I'm in the midst of it, and I'm taking a positive tack on it this time around, because I could really dive down in the dumper if I... I've got mail. Somebody emailed me. I'm here in utter isolation, and someone has reached out, and I'll guarantee you who it is. Now, I'm wishing it was my ex-girlfriend who's driven me to madness, but it's probably my wacky friend in California who's the only person who would still be awake at this hour, sending me emails about alien abductions and political conspiracy theories. And I'll tell you, I'm so positive that it's not my ex and that it's my wacky friend in California that I'm not even going to get up to check. So I'm making progress, because a week ago I would have lurched across the room. I don't know if that's the right word, because lurch kind of implies slowness, kind of an Adams Family thing. I would have rocketed across the room to check that email, but I found a little inner resolve, and I'm going to sit here on the futon and chat with you for a moment. You want to know about insanity? Well, have you ever felt like you were going crazy? Or are you crazy? Sometimes I'm at the office and I feel isolated in my mental illness. And then I look about the room and I consider each person in there. I consider all the people at work, and now that I've gotten to know them, really, they're all crazy. They just don't know it. We all have this facade, this mask that we put on out there in public, hiding all the busyness in our minds, all the anxieties and insecurities and self-esteem issues and fears. It's a fear culture, so I would imagine it's a real petri dish. A real cultural experiment in the encouragement of insanity and the breakdown of good feelings about ourselves. We're scared of terrorists and bombs and disease and aging and loss of sexual potency. Good Lord, think of all those Viagra spams that you get if you're a guy, or Botox injection. You gotta have those hot dog lips these days to be sexy if you're a gal.
It is one of those things where you do want to just like pinch yourself at all points and just being like, I'm not a mental case who thinks he's working in a mental hospital, right? That would be the worst. It's just like everyone be like, oh, that's that patient who thinks that he's working here. Because you do these kind of like menial tasks where you're really just checking up where like everyone's going on, like, yeah, on this grid that's not high tech at all. Just being like, oh, they're in the living room. Like, they're in this thing.
Hi, I'm Luke, and I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I work in an alcoholic institution.
There are all different types of people who are coming to this hospital. Doctors, your school teachers, you know, people who are very fitness conscious but are doing like lines of coke at night to try and like feel better.
I just started there, so it's kind of like a very abrupt change in my life. I can definitely relate to the patients there, because I'm still getting to know what everything is.
It's crazy. You know, I go into work and I'm like, all right, this is what I do. You know, you swipe in and you go upstairs and you get a cup of coffee, but after that, anything could happen.
We're eating Chinese food. And we're going to talk a little bit about craziness and psychiatric hospitals and especially particularly crazy people.
There was a girl in the adolescent unit, probably about 16, I would say, refusing to take her meds. And I get a call from downstairs that we're doing a show of force.
Which is basically we assemble every large person, or one large person at least, from every unit in this specific location.
So I went upstairs, same old rigmarole, put on the gloves, you know, I took my tie off so she couldn't strangle me, and, you know, went into the room where she was, and she was sitting on the bed in her room, completely, like, just not even in her head. She was, like, sort of sitting in the bed, like, holding her knees, you know, just kind of very scared and very curled up into a ball, very defensive. The nurse wanted her to take her medication. You know, there was about five or six other psych techs there, mostly, I think at that time, it was all women. I was the only guy. I was a little scared because I'm not the biggest guy in the world. But the nurse, you know, gave her a choice. She said, you can either take the drugs by mouth or you could take this. And she pulled out probably the biggest needle I had ever seen in my life. She looked at it and she was just like, I'm not taking either of those. All of a sudden, she just blew up. She's like, fuck you. Fuck this. I want out of here. You don't have to keep me here. And we're like, no, I'm afraid. I'm afraid we do actually have to keep you here because you're not in control. So, you know, it was this sort of minute of, like, kind of tension and confusion between the staff and the social worker was there. And she's like, you know, she kind of looks at us and she's like, all right, do your thing.
There's nothing like a little insanity to find you home alone every night trying to distract yourself with this and that, television or food or Googling things up, anything to keep the mind off the topics that produce fear. Those gears start working, and once they're in motion, it's difficult to stop them. Issues. Triggers, things that stir up unpleasant memories, guilt and shame and sadness. It's hard to be a human being, and I'm failing miserably so far. I'm 48, never been married, can't keep a relationship. I'm underachieving. I've got a modicum of talent, but I'm not parlaying it into anything significant. I've never owned a house. I'm not a bad-looking fellow. I'm one of those guys that people see and go, he's a good-looking guy. How come he doesn't have a gal? I'll tell you why. It's because I'm crazy. And there's nothing like love to trigger the brain chemicals that set me off and have me diving into the deep end in no time.
Hey, Dad, can you hear me? Check. We can't hear you.
Okay, so what's the plan?
The plan is insanity. Dad?
When people tell you that, oh, I want to go into something where I'm helping people, what they're really saying is, I am really lost. I need so much help myself. I went through this traumatic breakup with my first serious love. I was just lost, massively depressed. I dropped out of college. My life needed changing.
So what did you do? You worked at a hospital, and what was your job?
The position was called a psychiatric assistant. Your primary goal on any given shift was not to get hurt. Your primary mission was to always watch the back of another staff member. We were the only locked psychiatric ward other than the state hospital for the criminally insane, those that had been actually convicted and committed criminally because of a violent crime. And so we, oftentimes before someone would go to trial, because they had not been convicted of anything, and oftentimes not even really arrested yet, they would be brought to us, and basically you had to kind of get them to be unpsychotic so that they could be arraigned. You can't just haul somebody who's clearly crazy into a courtroom and then, you know, try and enter a plea. There was a notorious and very frightening murder, and a young man was brought in, and word got out really quickly that he was this prime suspect in this murder, which, that puts you on edge. That's even out of the ordinary for what is not an ordinary living situation at all. He was, generally speaking, very docile in appearance. So when this young man was on the station, a very good friend of mine, another psych assistant, went into, you know, he was a very jovial guy. He was just a very happy-go-lucky guy, such a nice guy. And he walked into a room and was promptly assaulted, but it was, I don't remember if exactly if what I was doing. Maybe we were getting dinner for people, you know, that kind of thing where he might have been at the other end of the room. I got distracted. I don't know what was, you know, how it all happened, but it was just that thing where he walked into a room. I saw him do that, and I turned away for something, and I turned back just a moment later, and he just didn't come out. He hadn't come out, and he just should have. So I just looked at this other psych assistant that I was working with at the time, who was also a good friend and very trusted, and his eyes and mine just met, and we both looked down the room to this room, and we didn't even have to say anything. We just bolted.
Alt.